righty, away we go. Hour number three of our radio program, Zach Gelb Show, Infinity Sports Network. This is in the running, I think, for audio clip of the year. Let's hear from Liam Cohen. It's very simple. It's very short. But still, with that being said, it's something that maybe made a lot of people question the Jacksonville Jaguars hire. And it was just based off this short exchange. I've never heard one word from a coach change a perception about somebody. Stu, when Liam Cohen was introduced as the Jaguars coach, before he said, Duval. What was your thoughts on the hire?
Very good hire. One of the better hires. A good young offensive mind who I would not have been mad if my Raiders had hired him.
Right? That was the thing. The Raiders wanted him too. Now, I think we're all saying like LOL Jaguars today. But, you know, the Raiders have a lot more passionate fan base. I know Jaguars fans won't like when I say that. But the Raiders are, right, one of those iconic franchises, or used to be. And with the Raiders, they're always synonymous nationally with getting things wrong. You know, you go around the league in the last 30 years. Is there a franchise more synonymous with getting things wrong than the Raiders? I could only think of one. I could only think of one, Stu. You have any guess on which one that is?
Yeah, probably the Browns with all the quarterbacks.
You know what? I could think of two. I would say the Browns, also the Cowboys.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Right? Out of that trio, Raiders, Browns, Cowboys. Is there a franchise, the Jets? That's four. Ooh, this is a great question. Impromptu conversation. The five teams in the NFL the last 30 years that always get it wrong. Jets have to be in the top five. The Raiders have to be in the top five. The Browns have to be in the top five.
Maybe before the last 3 years, the Lions, but I think the last 3 years have been pretty good. That kind of turned that around a little.
Yeah, they do go away. They do.
So I mean, the past 13, 14 years, you could say the Giants have been a mess since that last Super Bowl.
Yeah, but still, when you beat the Patriots twice and you get two Super Bowls, and it's been a, hey, they're a mess, don't get me wrong. But it's not as if 2012 is ancient history.
The Bears, maybe.
Yeah. They have to be in there. I know they got to a Super Bowl, right, with Rex Grossman. But you look at franchises that always get it wrong. Let's do this by division. AFC East, it's the Jets. It's the Jets now, and it will always be the Jets. The AFC North, it's the Browns. The AFC South. The Texans were there for a while, but they've restored it. The Colts only went in one Super Bowl with Peyton Manning, but they won a Super Bowl. Is it the Jaguars, right, Stu?
I think it's the Jaguars.
Right? AFC West, it's the Raiders. NFC East, you know what? Up until this year, it would have been the Commanders, right? Especially with Daniel Snyder, but now I would say that it's the drama Dallas choking Cowboys. The NFC West, you know what? I think that's the most respectable division. Cardinals in the last 30 years have been to a Super Bowl. Seahawks been to two. They won one. The Rams won a Super Bowl. The Niners, they're always a good team. I can't give you one in the NFC West. NFC North, yeah. I would say it's the Bears. NFC South, ooh, that's good. So Bucks are off the list because they won a Super Bowl. Panthers have been to a Super Bowl in the last 30 years. Two Super Bowls. The Saints won a Super Bowl in the last 30 years. The Falcons, like, they're fine, but they haven't won. I guess it would be the Falcons, you know, in that case. Unless if you have a different one there, Stu.
I don't. And when you've been to a Super Bowl, I feel like you're almost eliminated automatically from this list.
So Jets, Browns, Jaguars, Raiders, Cowboys, Bears, right? Those are the six of the last 30 years. So how do we, if we have to put the five incompetent organizations of the last 30 years, who do we kick to the curb here, Samter? Jets, Browns, Jaguars, Raiders, Cowboys, Bears. What's your vote on who you kick to the curb if we're doing a top five list?
You probably have to kick the Cowboys to the curb just because, I mean, they've had so many double-digit win seasons. I know they've fallen short in the playoffs, but, like, they've won a lot. The Jets have been to three AFC championship games since 98, so there's that, and they've won a lot of games, but they've been just such a bleep show and just such a mess that I think they belong on the list.
So the last 30 years, and hey, the Cowboys, technically, they won a Super Bowl in the last 30 years, 95, if you want to get technical. Like, that's where it starts-ish. Like, I'm 30. I was born in 94. So, yeah, I don't know, though, but the Cowboys, man, they've really... All right, you want to do last 20? Should we do last 20? Then who's on the chopping block? Jets, Browns, Jaguars, Raiders, Cowboys, Bears. Does that change your answer at all?
I still think the Cowboys go off the list. All those other teams have been just almost comically bad. The Cowboys have been really good. They just fall short when it matters.
Stu, do you take the Cowboys off?
I'll take off the Bears because they've made it to a Super Bowl.
Okay, so you take off the Bears. So let's do this then. I will be the deciding factor here on Cowboys and Bears. That one of them are going to be in the fifth spot. I think we could agree with that. How do we rank Jets, Browns, Jaguars, Raiders? Who's the most incompetent team of the last 20 years?
I have to go. I think it's the Raiders because of all the coaches they've had and the very little success.
Yeah, and what? In the last 20 years, their most successful season was...
12-4.
With Derek Carr?
Yes, and he got hurt, so they didn't even win a playoff game.
And we also praised them when you had the coach get fired, Gruden with the whole lawsuit, and then Bisaccia got him to the playoffs, and Carr could have won that game and ended up... Right, interception, I'm pretty sure?
Yeah, against the Bengals.
Yeah, yep. I was freezing my ass off in Buffalo watching that game. Waiting for the Patriots to play the Bills, or the Bills got smacked. Do you agree with that, Sam? The Raiders are in the one spot?
I think I put the Browns in the one spot, to be honest.
But here's the thing. The Browns, they had those two play... Well, they made it to a divisional round, but man, dude, they've hired so many coaches and quarterbacks.
They won one game in a two-year span. They went 1-31.
Well, I'm asking you, which disease would you rather have here? You know, they did have an offer. They did have a winless season.
The funny thing with the Browns is they can never find the quarterback. They missed the playoffs. They went 1-31 over 2 years. They finally got this guy who, like, okay, you know what? He has his off the field issues, but we've got our quarterback, and he's fallen flat too. So just when you finally think you get your quarterback, that's not Tim Couch or, you know, Brian Hoyer, then you end up with Deshaun Watson, who can't play quarterback anymore.
I wasn't expecting a Brian Hoyer reference on this show. I am going to go with the Browns 1, the Raiders 2. I'm then going to say the Jets 3 and the Jaguars 4. Does anyone have a problem with that order? And this plays a factor into it. I know that the Jaguars have a 30% winning percentage the last, you know, since 2012. You know, they made an AFC championship game a few years back. I know the Jets made 2 under Rex Ryan. But a lot more people care about the Jets than the Jaguars. Like, when the Jaguars are bad, their own fans dress up as clowns. When the Jets are bad, it's a national story. And kind of this run with Rodgers, how you kind of made your point on getting Deshaun Watson not working out. All we were told the last few years, Jets just need a quarterback. Then they get a quarterback. I know he had the Achilles injury 3 plays into the season. But when the Jets are bad, it's always just, well, they're bad a lot of times. But there's always something that's just... How the heck does it happen to that team that way? So I would say Browns, Raiders, Jets, Jaguars are 1, 2, 3, 4. Now the Cowboys, Bears one is fascinating. Man. I think this is the toughest question that we've ever asked. And I'm going to say it's the Cowboys. I am. But man, I hate to go 5 and 5A. That's even a thing. But I'm going to go Browns 1, Raiders 2, Jets 3, Jaguars 4, Cowboys 5. And not putting the Bears in there. It feels slimy of incompetent organizations in the last 20 years. So there you go on that front. But anyway, why we were supposed to do this segment, and then we just got sidetracked. We're out of all the teams that have made new hires, which we have 6 out of 7 right now. We're still waiting for the Saints. What's a concern about one of these hires? So you look at Mike Vrabel. I think the biggest concern is the offensive side of the ball. I like the hire of Josh McDaniels, but Josh McDaniels without Tom Brady, what is he? Now, I know Josh McDaniels got Mac Jones to the playoffs and did some good stuff designing plays for Cam before Cam got the COVIDs. But I look at Josh McDaniels, and it's not only him, but the offensive side of the ball. Can you get an offensive line in there? Can you go get a number one wide receiver to enhance the development of Drake May? Which, by the way, I have never been more furious about a player making the Pro Bowl than Drake May. Now, I get it. All these people say no. Someone's got to go to the Pro Bowl. But here's why I don't like it, Stu. And this is just me. Mac Jones made the Pro Bowl his rookie year. I think Drake May is a lot more talented than Mac Jones. But it's a similar feel. It gives me the PTSD going on back where it's like, uh-oh, is this Mac happening all over again? And you know what? I have to call a spade because I know that I have no problem pointing out when people are jinxes or mushes or they put on the hex. I really do believe it wasn't Matt Patricia and Joe Judge, those two bozos, running the Patriots offense, which I don't understand why Bill Belichick did that. I think I actually mushed the career of Mac Jones still. And, you know, we're supposed to have Drake May on at the Super Bowl, and I may have to reconsider this.
Ooh.
Because I knew Mac a little bit, right? He came on the show when he was at Alabama. We stayed in contact. And after his rookie season, he was going on with Jim Rome at the Super Bowl. And I was in the green room, and we sat down next to each other. I was eating my oatmeal, and I was talking to him and I think his girlfriend. And ever since then, Mac Jones went from a Pro Bowl rookie quarterback to now basically holding a clipboard in Jacksonville and waiting for Trevor Lawrence to get injured. So, Drake, I believe a lot more in the Mac. But if Drake May, if I meet him at the Super Bowl and then he turns out to be a bum, I may have to stop meeting Patriot quarterbacks. Now, I did meet Tom Brady a few times, and that guy wasn't a bum, but he was already established. You know, I didn't meet Tom back in 2001. So, that's something to monitor. But my concern for the Pats is the offense side of the ball. Ben Johnson. You know, it's kind of crazy that we didn't put the Bears on that list because you know what I have written down for him? The Bears curse. Like, right, you got talent. You got Ben Johnson. You got Caleb Williams. You should be competent next year. And if you can't be competent, it's either two things. One, the Bears are just cursed. Or two, you're not the right person, even though everyone thinks you are, to transition from going from innovative offensive mind, offensive coordinator, and then taking that next step of being a head coach. Pete Carroll. Stu, what's your biggest concern? This is a loaded question.
Yeah, all can it be above? A list of concerns or is it just one?
What's the number one concern with Pete Carroll being your head coach in your opinion?
Finding a quarterback.
Okay, mine's just very general. It's lack of talent.
It's fair.
I wouldn't even say Max Crosby's untouchable because you can get two first-round picks back for him and I think that's something they should consider. But I look at the two players that you feel are your foundational pieces right now, right? You would say Max Crosby, and then you would also say it would be Brock Bowers.
Definitely, yes.
Like, what's your evaluation, by the way? And I'm asking this for a reason. What's your evaluation of the running back unit with the Raiders?
I mean, it's pretty dire. It's pretty bad. Right? Alexander Mattison, like, you move on from a guy in Josh Jacobs who's probably a top five running back. Okay, maybe he's getting a little older. Maybe he falls off a little bit, but they did not replace him, and they could not run the ball. The running backs are not good. The offensive line was terrible, so just all around pretty bad.
So here's why I ask you that. So I meant to bring this up to you last week, but it got lost in the shuffle of, like, we didn't have that much time with the news brief, and we played a clip, and I forgot to bring it up to you. Last week, do you remember when we played a Richard Sherman clip talking about Pete Carroll? Do you remember that at all?
Vaguely, yes.
So he's talking about the hire. And he goes, you know, I like the running back room with the Raiders. And, right, when you're a national host, I try to watch as many teams as possible. I can't be an expert on every team, even though I'm well-versed in NFL and college. But he was praising the running back room. And I'm like, the Raiders' running back room sucks. It blows. You know, that's what I'm like, what's he talking about? So that's why I asked you that question. But for me, for Pete Carroll, it's lack of talent still. That's what I ended up writing down.
Yeah, it's all around. They need a lot of help to become contenders.
Brian Schottenheimer. My concern is Jerry Jones because Brian Schottenheimer is not the coach of the Dramas Dallas choking Cowboys. It's Jerry Jones, and he can't get out of his own way right now. All righty. Play me one more time. Our great friend. We got to get him on the show. We do. Yeah, I want Liam Cohen on the show. Let's hear Liam Cohen. My biggest concern after yesterday is his personality. Because he comes off as extremely player-friendly. Are you player-friendly, though, and a doormat? Or can you be a disciplinarian? Can you be the authoritative voice and a leader of men when needed to? And then finally, Aaron Glenn, no quarterback. Like, you have Rodgers. If Rodgers comes back, okay, that saves you a year. But I can't see Rodgers playing more than a year. So if Rodgers is out this year or next year, you're still stuck then in the boat where Sala was, where you have this talented roster, but you still don't have the long-term answer at quarterback. 855-212-4227. 855-212-4227. Rob in Connecticut is next up on the Zach Gelb Show. Wants to chime in on some of the best players to ever win a championship, as we were talking about that earlier.
Absolutely, Zach. Hold on. Just give me 1 second. Alexa, volume one.
What are you doing there, Rob?
Well, I didn't want the radio to be on while I was talking to you. And speaking of, when that thing came on, Duval, I thought my room was haunted when I heard that. It sounds creepy, ghosty-like.
I thought, Rob, that you were like, ordering some food or something. Or you're like in like the waiting room at a doctor's office. It sounded like you were barking out some orders there, my man.
Oh, and by the way, I have to say something to you, Zach. You are brutal, kid. Let me tell you what. You made Hickey wear a damn Fighting Irish outfit. You're all over Carlos K. Carlos with the K. Mm-hmm. You are brutal. You know that?
Well, I'm not brutal.
You want Maggie Gray to spray Cheese Whiz all over somebody with a bet, too?
I'm just an idea guy. And here's the thing. When you lose a bet, you got to pay up. And Hickey lost the bet. I didn't, hold him to it and said, you have to make this bet or you're fired. He made a bet because he was confident. And he lost, so he paid off the bet. Carlos made a bet. It was a stupid bet. I told him he shouldn't make the bet. He lost. And I just threw out a programming idea to Maggie Gray was, and it's an irrelevant point now, that if the Bills and the Eagles made the Super Bowl, they should do a blue cheese baptism or a Cheese Whiz christening for whoever's team lost. So if the Bills lost, they have to get dumped in blue cheese. And if the Eagles lost, Perloff would have to get dumped in Cheese Whiz. So I'm an idea guy here, Rob.
I heard that last night on the Bart Winkler show. That was funny. But listen, I'm good today. And yesterday the Bills lost. And, yes, we become numb to it. But my favorite player, native. You should know this. Long Island native, Carl Yastrzemski.
Carl Yastrzemski. Yeah, that's a good one.
Yep. Football, of course, Thurman Thomas. I was thinking of Moreno, but Thurman Thomas followed him all the way through high school. I went 20 miles away from him in high school, so I knew who he was. Willow Ridge High School in Texas.
Yeah, where's his helmet, I'm just wondering.
Yeah, it's probably still in Texas, right? The next player I'm going to have to go with, I don't pay attention to basketball too much, but then I thought about it, Allen Iverson.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And then hockey, my favorite hockey player of all time was Bobby Orr. He already won it, but I'm going to have to go with Eric Lindros.
Okay. Well, Rob, appreciate it. Thanks so much, as always, and thanks for making the call. You know what's crazy? And I told you the NBA was a great one. So, Stu, you went the answer, Allen Iverson. I went with the mailman, Karl Malone. Sam, you went with Elgin Baylor. None of us said Charles Barkley. And you know what I think that shows? I think it shows that we actually have sympathy for Charles Barkley. Because every day Shaq, when they do Inside the NBA, brings up the fact that Chuck has never won a ring. So I think we gave some sympathy points there to Charles Barkley. All righty, Zach Gelb here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. Should the Steelers bring back Mr. Unlimited? Russell Wilson, we'll get to that next. The Defensive Player of the Week is sponsored by the Navy Federal Credit Union, who proudly serves the Armed Forces, DOD veterans, and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. This week's player is Eagles linebacker Zach Bond. In Sunday's win over the Commanders, the former third-round pick had 12 tackles and forced a fumble. Bond joins Miles Garrett, T.J. Watt, Trey Hendrickson, and Patrick Surtain as this year's Defensive Player of the Year finalists. I'll tell you, this Eagles defense, we all know that they're a really good defense. I'll say if they win this Super Bowl, then I'll say, okay, great defense. In terms of, I don't want to say all-time great defense. They're unbelievable. There's a reason why they're top defense in the league. But you look at the amount of talent on this team and the defensive side of the ball, and especially this year, Jalen Carter, monster season. You look at Zach Bond, breakout season, unbelievable. Quinyon Mitchell, Cooper DeJean, or as I like to say, Cooper DeJean. You know, he's a Philly guy. It's got to be a John. You got Darius Big Play Slay. This defense is awesome. And that's going to be a fun point in the Super Bowl where I think most people are going to be like, oh, Spagnuolo. And I love Spags, right? I did a Sports Minute today that he should be a Hall of Famer, win or lose in this Super Bowl. And I know assistant coaches don't make the Hall of Fame. But I look at Vic Fangio. This is a major bleep you moment for him, if you think about it. Those Dolphins players last year, how soft are some of those players complaining about Vic Fangio? Vic Fangio goes to Philadelphia. Looks pretty damn good to me. But, you know, the Dolphins had to get rid of him. And I will say this. I think that's a big difference. And I think this is going to be bizarre coming from me because I criticized him more than enough in Nick Sirianni. You look at Nick Sirianni compared to Mike McDaniel. Like, they're both players, coaches. They both have the tag of being a doormat too. What Sirianni has done this year, I'm going to say he's not a doormat anymore. You know, looking back at it, and Sirianni was not perfect. Last year was indefensible. But I think last year made them stronger and also had Nick change some things as well. And I go back to that bye week when Brandon Graham met with Jalen Hurts and Sirianni, whatever happened, or Sirianni met with Jalen Hurts and they got him back on the same page. I thought that was big. But I think Nick in that locker room went for more of, you know, the players loved him so much, but I don't feel like they let him down last year. And they saw the beating that he took in the first month and a half of the season. And sometimes, right, when you like someone so much and they go, I'm mad at you, doesn't do much. But when you go, hey, I'm disappointed in you, that really hurts. Because if there's someone that you like and they get mad at you, whatever, it will blow over. When they say, I'm disappointed in you, it's like, oh, knife in the heart. Oh, they're not just upset with me. I let them down. Like, just someone being mad is different than hearing, I'm disappointed in you. And I think those players realize that Sirianni was disappointed in them. And that has made that group stronger. Where in Miami, I feel as if the players are still running the show there. Where Sirianni, he's running the show in Philadelphia in terms of the people in the locker room, because we know Jeffrey Lurie and Howie Roseman have the final say in Philadelphia. So that's just something that I was thinking about. But man, Zach Bond, he was not on my bingo card this year for breakout player, defensive player. I just didn't have that stuff. Psych Mamter on Twitter. Now, that's a good question. Which is stronger, the Bears curse or the Hickey Hex? Stu, what's your answer on this? What's a stronger curse?
It's got to be Hickey Hex.
I think so as well. And that, we don't have an Ask the Pros question today, but that was hashtag Ask the Pros. So now I was responding. And sometimes you respond with a GIF, right? We've all been on social media where you type in a GIF. And I know there's one GIF of Ryan Hickey in the algorithm, right, uploaded to Twitter. So I just searched Hickey. And you could imagine a lot of things came up that weren't Ryan Hickey. So then I'm like, oh, I got to type Ryan Hickey. And then it's, I don't know what he was doing. DA's in the background, like a caricature of DA. Not actually DA, just a caricature of DA. And Hickey's like ultimate white guy dancing, you know, in this video. The ultimate, you know what? AB would name him Cracker of the Day. That's what he would name him. I saw AB also named Liam Cohen Cracker of the Day too, which, you know, if you don't take AB seriously, Antonio Brown, he is an awesome follow on Twitter. Just to see some of the stuff that he posts, and you're like, what? Like, no one is off limits with him. And they're like, AB, right? He's uncancelable. There's a few people that you can't cancel in this world. You know, I'm trying. Dave Portnoy's one. Joe Rogan is one. Antonio Brown is one. There's just certain people that you can't cancel that we just like, all right, you get the benefit. We may not agree, like everything you say, but you, we know that you're in a level you could say whatever you want. So I would agree that the Hickey Hex is stronger than the Bears curse, though, as well. Let's do this. Let's hear from Art Rooney on Justin Fields and Russell Wilson next year. This courtesy of Steelers.com.
I think we saw enough out of both Russell and Justin to think that we'd like to have at least one of them back. Probably unlikely to have them both back, but I think we had enough success with both of them at different stretches during the season. That would be our first choice, is to have one of them back. But at the same time, you know, we have to look at the draft. We have to look at what else is out there. It's, you know, we have more than one job opening in the quarterback room, and we've got to bring in some people to help us.
So I don't think they could bring both back. I think he is right on that. Because if you're right, Russell Wilson, if they bring you back, if you're Justin Fields, why would you want to go back there? Wouldn't you rather hitch your wagon somewhere else? And vice versa, if Justin Fields is brought back, I think Russ may say, okay, I could beat him out, and there is a preference here, but why would you want to risk that chance? Because, like, the moment you struggle, if you're Russell Wilson, like, early on in the season, you know, then the fans are going to be calling for Justin Fields. I think they got to make a decision, one or the other. And if I was running the Steelers, I would pick Justin Fields over Russell Wilson. And it's not because I think Justin Fields is a much better quarterback, but I think there's a higher ceiling. Like, I just saw Russ not start the season for them because of the injury, get back in even when Justin Fields was winning games. You know, they got hot for a little bit, and then down the stretch, the Steelers were the Steelers, what they've been the last few years, where it's, okay, they get in the postseason, come playoff time, they crap the bed, they're very far away from great teams, you know, being a great team. And you look down the stretch, they had some big games up against big opponents. They didn't win one of those games. Not one. So I talk about, right, Sean McDermott reaching his apex in Buffalo. But at least for Sean McDermott, it's like, okay, where do you go from there? I throw out Belichick. If it's not Belichick, then, you know, you're going to run back Sean McDermott. I don't think Sean McDermott's getting fired, to be clear. In terms of Russell Wilson, all right, where are you going to go? Well, I'd rather see Justin Fields for a full season. Now, I'm not saying I believe Justin Fields is going to be the guy, but if I'm a Steelers fan, I'm more inclined to see Justin Fields over Russell Wilson. But I said this before, Mike Tomlin, you got 2 years here. If I'm running this team, you got 2 years. You got to either get me a playoff win, or you got to get me a franchise quarterback. And if you don't, then I think you should be out. Hey, I got to ask you a question. So sometimes listeners tell you things.
Okay.
And they're either in the ballpark of being somewhat true. Like, there's some mixed truths there. Sometimes they tell you things and they're 100% true. And then sometimes a listener will tell you something and it's nowhere close to the truth. Because, you know, like, there could be like a joke that wasn't got, or they heard someone wrong, or, you know, I've had people used to be in the 6 to 10 p.m. time slot, like JR will say something, and then people will be like, they tweet me, and they'll be like, how could you say? I'm like, I haven't been on the air in like 3 hours. So, like, things like that happen. Were you guys talking last night? Rob in Connecticut called up.
Yes.
Were you talking about the Maggie, my bet idea to Maggie Gray?
I think so. I have him training somebody, Greg Frank, one of our newer guys. So he was on the board yesterday.
Who I went to college with.
No kidding. Oh, that's right. Yeah, he is a Philly guy.
I hired Greg Frank at the college radio station at Temple University.
Oh, wow. Yeah, this industry is small, like a period. that being said, I vaguely remember Rob being on, but I had been in and out, been training him. So they definitely may have talked about it, but it's possible that I could not have been in the room.
So
we had taped with Maggie earlier in the day, so that spot was pre-recorded.
Oh, you guys had Maggie on last night.
Yeah, we wanted to get the Bills fan perspective from the loss.
How is she doing, by the way?
In good spirits considering, but like, yeah. How do
so
you get
last year I was a jerk to Maggie after the Bills lost.
Oh, no.
Hand up, full admission. I was walking home from a buddy's apartment. We were all watching the game, and I put out a video. Hey, Maggie, just checking in. Want to see how you're doing. it was gut-wrenching this year. I didn't, like, last year was bad, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But I thought this one, even though it's on the road and last year was home, I thought was worse. And I'm like, you know what? I'm not going after Maggie on this one. I'm not being a jerk here because I actually felt bad for Maggie. I'm not surprised she did the spot because she did a whole show on it.
Yeah.
But that was a somber kind of mood, I would imagine.
I mean, Maggie being Maggie, you know, still perky as ever. But yeah, you know, obviously a little bit more downtrodden with the Bills loss.
Yeah.
But, you know, you should be used to it at this point.
So I recommended This is my idea to Maggie when she came on with this Friday, and we thought there was this idea, right? Bills were going to play the Eagles in the Super Bowl, the Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff Super Bowl.
Now that you mention it, I do remember. Yeah.
So I suggested to her the loser, like if the Bills lose, Maggie has to do a blue cheese baptism. And then if the Eagles lost, there would have to be a cheese whiz christening for Perloff.
I love how both of these have religious connotations to it.
And I volunteered my, coming from a Jewish guy too, I volunteered my services if they needed a larger individual to pick up the bucket.
Sure.
To dump the blue cheese or the cheese whiz on them. And I also said I'd bring in breakfast too.
Oh,
so I got a DM from a listener about this. I think it was our buddy Nick in Texas. He reached out to me and he goes, like, investigative on this, because I guess he didn't hear it. He goes, just got off the call of, I haven't responded to Nick, so I'll do so, of my annual Super Bowl bet. I guess he does a Super Bowl bet with them each and every year. They brought up your idea, the blue cheese idea. Expand on that, and I'll call back another time to clarify. I mean, it sounds good and disgusting. Perfect for a Super Bowl show bet. I kind of feel as if that idea goes out the window.
Oh, it's totally dead.
The Bills and the Eagles. Now, like, if Nick wants to bet Perloff, like, if the Eagles lose, you could still do cheese whiz getting dumped on Nick, or, you know, if the Eagles on Perloff, and then if the Chiefs win, then it gets dumped on.
Yeah, what's maybe, the Chiefs equivalent of
Kansas City barbecue sauce.
There you go.
That's what they, you know what, Nick, I'm going to reach out to him. Chiefs lose the Super Bowl, you get smothered in Kansas City barbecue sauce. If Perloff loses the Super Bowl, then he gets dunked in cheese.
I like it. That's how you adjust on the fly.
I always feel like Perloff gets a short end of the sticks on these bets. You know, Maggie did have to eat that, what was it, that tuna fish with Jell-O, I think?
Yeah, Perloff had a crush on peanut butter jar.
But that's not that bad. I love peanut butter. If you tell me crush a peanut butter
jar, though?
I don't care. No, I love shot. Peanut butter.
No, I'd go into a sugar coma like immediately and finish in the jar. Start seizing on the floor.
Yeah.
Especially if it's super chunky.
Yeah, but I love peanut butter. Stu, did you think you had a jar of peanut butter?
Yeah, I could do that.
This is going to sound weird. I'd be afraid how it exits your body. I was cleaning that up a little bit.
I'm going to need it as a drop.
Yeah, sure. Go. You become the drop king. Anytime I tune into Bart's show, I have to say to myself, is my Comrex connected? Because I hear myself. You have a whole folder of me.
I have. Not just you. I do have a folder of drops.
Who else do you go after?
Oh, Maggie.
Really?
Yeah, Maggie is very droppable.
So you would say in the drop rankings that you have, would I be one and Maggie would be two?
I actually don't think either of you cracked the top three.
What?
We have caller drops, too.
And do you?
We have right. Some of the more insane callers at that time.
I did 2 to 6 a.m. for years. Out of hosts or people that work here or worked here, is there anyone that passes myself or Maggie in terms of your drops?
I think Maggie actually just slightly ahead of you, yes.
I got to hear the Maggie drops.
I
got to
play them more often. That's what I have to do.
Okay,
I'm Carlos Ortiz.
And I'm not a man of my word.
Oh,
that was good.
Oh, look at Stu.
You know, Stu Santa, we got to up our drop game. Now, I don't like sometimes when producers just play like an excessive amount of drops. Like if someone's in a really good rant and they take away.
Yes.
You know, I've had people that have messed up my shows or segments. Not Hickey, not Santa, not Stu, to be clear.
I'm going to need names.
There were some fill-in producers here who no longer work here that thought they were DJs. That would just play things when they would fill in.
Baby Shark.
Wait, what?
Baby Shark.
That was one?
I remember one of those days, yep.
Oh, yeah, he did bounce back with. Yeah, but like, there'd be like.
That was an
EDM.
Open.
Yeah, there were like some EDM. And I'm like, what the heck are we doing? But there'd be times like I'm in like a rant and people would just play drops. Of, like, when
yeah,
I'm,
you got to know when to lay
I'm
out.
When I'm going in a rant, you don't want to stop the volcano.
Yeah.
Explosion in that case. Like, just let it go, and then eventually there'll be some cleanup afterwards. You could play a drop. But there's sometimes that there's, like, some producers and board ops that they just try to make their presence known.
Sure.
And I think you do a very good job.
I appreciate that. As long as the listeners like it, that's all I care about.
Yeah. But I think we should... Carlos has provided us with a lot of drops today.
You can peacock all you want.
Oh, that's a good one, too.
Oh, you know what? I should have one drop. I should have some Hickey. Nobody beat Hickey. And I don't have any. That's actually a shame for me.
Because Hickey's drops are innocent, you know?
Yeah.
Like, he does the drops, and then he's like, oh, I didn't even realize I, like.
He's completely oblivious
one more
time,
to it. Samter and Stu?
You can peacock all you want.
I was calling him a chicken, and he goes, you can peacock all you want. I'm like, dude, that's a, and at the end, we said,
yeah,
that's a great drop. He's like, what drop are you guys talking about? So, You do a very good job on the drums.
Thank you.
There's no doubt about that. And you don't interrupt Bart, you know, in terms of like ruining the set. It always flows well.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to do. It, you know, obviously we have a little natural disconnect because he's all the way in Milwaukee and I'm here. But, you know,
as time goes on. We should do a trip to Milwaukee.
So, I don't know how it's going to work out. Oh, the draft, actually. That would be perfect. The draft is in Green Bay.
Is it in Green Bay?
Yeah, it's 2 hours from Milwaukee.
Hmm.
It's not like you got to take another plane.
Yeah, so I would love to take you to Carnivore in Milwaukee. That steakhouse is unbelievable.
Oh, you had me at steakhouse?
Yeah. And you know what? I was very disappointed with Ryan McGuire, who works with us here at Westwood One. I, you know, love Ryan. But I know he lived in Milwaukee. He still may. And I go, oh, I've been to Carnivore. He's like, I don't like that place. I'm like, what are you talking about?
What's not to like?
Oh, just give me spotted cow and Wagyu beef. I'm good.
Good to go.
100% good. All righty, let's get the latest update. Here he is, Carlos with the K, the drop master. All righty, by the way, big thank you to Aaron Boone. Aaron Boone was in the office today, and I guess because Aaron Boone was here, we got free food. So I don't have to cook dinner tonight. I was going to make a little rice with some green beans in it and some onions and some chicken sausage. But now I got pasta pesto, an Italian sandwich, and some spinach. So that's easy for me. You know what? Let's do this. So I know we're supposed to do overreaction, proper reaction. Since we got like 4 minutes left in the show, let's punt overreaction, proper reaction until tomorrow. So we'll do that tomorrow. And man, you know, Stu, did you have any of this Italian food that they brought
I did.
In?
Carlos with a K did bring me a little bit of that nice sandwich, which was very, very good.
That's a good sandwich.
Yeah, not too bad. Not too shabby.
Very good. You got to talk here for a second.
Yeah.
I just took a bite.
It was this nice Aaron Boone coming through. I mean, can't really say that winter.
I think we can't criticize Aaron Boone for
that's what I'm
a
trying
few
to
months.
Say, yeah.
Mm, that's got a kick to it. That's a spicy sandwich right there.
Is that a chicken one?
No.
It's ham, I think. I had a sandwich, yeah.
I think there's some pepperoni on here, too. Salami and cheese, something like that. I think it is ham, though. Spicy ham, though. That's a spicy ham sandwich. I love pasta pesto. I do. I love. But you put pesto on pasta, 1,000% in. What's, by the way, watch, we'll do Phil Radio right now. We only have a few minutes left. Super Bowl Sunday, what's your spread, Stu? Have you figured it out yet? What are you doing?
So we have not. So Angie's sister's boyfriend is a big Eagles fan. So
oh, is he?
We are watching it at his place, their place, and we'll do something Philly related. Now, this past weekend, he made Philly cheesesteak wontons.
Oh!
Very, very good. Very enjoyable. Those are awesome with some buffalo chicken dip as well. So we'll probably do something Philly themed, I assume, since he's a big Eagles fan.
Cheesesteak egg rolls are pretty good.
Yeah, we thought of that. Mm-hmm. That might be an option.
Samter, you have a grill because you moved out to the rich folks in Connecticut. You have a big fancy grill out there on your big deck. What do you got cooking right there on the grill? You making anything for Super Bowl Sunday?
I mean, I'll be honest. Now that I've moved to this new area, I haven't made any like cool friends to come hang out yet. I have all my friends are all over the country now. So like,
Super Bowl, you got to make something.
I mean, I'll make something, but I'll probably just order some wings.
Yeah.
Or you know, some hors d'oeuvres or something. But the Super Bowl has become a much less exciting event in my household over the past 2 or 3 years. Because usually I get back from the week of Radio Row on a Saturday, and, you know, you're half tired.
And your football
you
wanna, out.
You miss
Let
the
me
baby.
Play my small
you spend,
violin
yeah,
for
you.
You
know, by the time I get home, you know, all I want to do is just kind of hang out with the baby and eat food and drink.
That sounds depressing.
Yeah, right.
No, it's fun. I enjoy it. But it's like, you know, the idea of
Dark
going to a Super Bowl party.
Dark moments with Michael Samter on the Infinity Sports Network.
The idea of going to a Super Bowl party after a week away is not as enticing to me as it would have been, you know, 5, 10 years ago.
I also don't like Super Bowl parties. Is that weird?
I don't like watching games with a big
yes.
group of people. So I could say this because they're my friends. I was asked to, right, hang out with my friends, right? Big ask, I know, conference championship weekend. And I went to a buddy of mine's apartment. There were only 10 people there. But when I can't hear the game because someone's asking me 9,000 questions during the game, I was annoyed. I left with 3 minutes left of the NFC Championship game. I said, I'm getting an Uber. I'm going back to my apartment so I can make it back in time for the start of the Bills Chiefs, because I had one friend that I think he thought we were playing like 21 questions. And he just decided to go question after question after question after question, asking me to justify my bets. And I go, I pick it because that's what I thought is going to happen. Stop asking me any bleeping questions. You know, I'll be honest, I was not a nice person. Not a nice person whatsoever. But it's just like, I just want to watch the game. I just want to watch the game. And like, there's some questions I get asked, no problem. When it's just one after another, after another, after another, it was like, enough is enough.
And the other part of it is, any other game, when the commercials come on, that's your time to talk and have conversation. Yeah. But the Super Bowl, you want to watch the commercials. So like,
yeah, you know, I'm not a big Super Bowl commercial guy, if I'm being honest.
I love the commercials. It's been a bunch of duds, but you still don't want to like take all that commercial time away just to have conversation.
Yeah. Alrighty. That will do it for the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. What a 3 minute filler segment right there.
Time for overreaction, proper reaction.
Yeah. We'll come on back tomorrow. I had a good line right there. I'll bite my lip on it though for the sake of time. Big thanks to Sal Capaccio. We'll be back tomorrow at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific time. It's the Zach Gelb Show. We out. Bye-bye. Peace.